Elder Robert D. Hales was sustained as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on April the 2nd, 1994. Previously, he had served as an assistant to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and later as a member of the First Quorum of the 70. He was presiding bishop of the church from April 1985 until called to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He was a regional representative for 5 years prior to his call as a general authority. He also has served as a branch president, bishop, high counselor, and stake president's counselor. He was president of the London, England mission in the late 70s and has served as first counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. Prior to his call to full-time church service, Elder Hales had a distinguished business career, serving in executive positions with major national companies. He also served in the United States Air Force as a jet fighter pilot. Elder Hales was born in New York City. He graduated from the University of Utah and holds a Master's of Business Administration degree from Harvard. He and his wife, Mary, have 2 sons. We are so pleased to have Elder and Sister Hales with us and very much look forward to his message following the choir.
For me, it is a special occasion to be here today. I was thinking as I was listening to the choir and that marvelous work of Brother Zabriskie, oh, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. We are told in the scriptures that every human being who will ever come to earth and who returns back into heaven will at one day have their knees bent and will confess that Jesus is the Christ. That's the message of that song, and it's appropriate as we go into our discussion today that we remember that more than anything else that we accomplish in life, I believe our testimony will be the most treasured and the most important thing which we develop and which we have, that we might know and to be able to confess that Jesus is the Christ. I'm so glad to be with you today in Brigham Young, Idaho, in the graduation commencement ceremonies. BYU, Idaho is a very special place. By the spirit of inspired teachers, who've devoted their lives to instruct you, you're about what is really important in your life. That is who you are. Many people have sacrificed so that you could be here as graduates today. The instructors, administrators, and staff of Brigham Young University, Idaho, have anxiously watched your progress and have supported your efforts. Your instructors have truly cared for you and have become an integral part of your life, really forever. You will never forget them, and you will never be able to express gratitude. They will always be remembered. This day in your life is a defining moment in which you begin the rest of your life. Above all, your parents and family members have supported you, taught you, and brought you through your childhood and adolescence so that you'd be able to be worthy and be ready to continue your education and learning here in this sacred place. Would you take a few minutes before you leave the campus to individually express gratitude to those who have sacrificed and played such an important role in your life, and which will lead to your success throughout the rest of your life. You will not fully appreciate the greatness of your teachers that you have known here until you face challenges that require you to put into practice what they have taught you. With time and experience, these opportunities will come. As you draw upon the lessons that they taught, your hearts will swell wide with gratitude for their dedicated service. It is this sacrifice and their sacrifice and your diligent efforts that have hallowed these halls of learning. Congratulations on completing a goal which you started. It is a privilege to be here and to share with you the joy of your graduation commencement, to be able to have had the opportunity to shake each of your hands, to say congratulations, well done, is a great thrill. Some of you may feel that after several years of hard work, you've finally arrived at the end. But the word commencement is a key to the meaning of this day. You have achieved an important goal in your life, but it is not the end. It is a new beginning. It is an opportunity to commence upon the challenges of the rest of your mortal journey, and to do so in the Lord's way. For you have kept his commandments to be instructed more perfectly in theory, in principle, in doctrine, in the law of the gospel, in all the things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, that they are expedient for you to understand, of things both in heaven and on earth and under the earth, things which have been, things which are, things which must shortly come to pass, things which are at home, things which are abroad, the wars and perplexities of the nations and the judgments which are on the land, and a knowledge also of the countries and kingdoms, that ye may be prepared in all things, while I shall send you again to magnify the callings whereunto I have called you and the mission with which I have commissioned you. That is in the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, and I'd read it from time to time. You have been given many gifts. Your goal is going to be to discover what those gifts are. They are unique to each individual, and to develop them. I'd like to suggest a few of the most important goals in life that will give you joy as you fulfill your mission on this earth. Eternal goals that will help you return with honor to your Father in heaven. They include, first, Mary in the temple, cultivating the eternal family relationship by prayerfully balancing the many facets of life, such as the family, occupation, continuing education, hobbies, and entertainment. The balance you have in life will be very important. The next, faithfully and obediently live your religion and be true to your baptismal and temple covenants, always treasuring up the good things of life. The third, hold on to your eternal perspective gained here at Brigham Young University, Idaho, remembering that the things of the kingdom are eternal and the things of the world are temporary or temporal. Next, remember to give dedicated service throughout your life and always care for the needy who may require your love and your support. These are lifetime goals that take time to focus and time to achieve. Making these goals is not enough. We must also make the plans to carry them out. Only then can we avoid those worldly diversions that so easily preoccupy and entice us away from the most important things of life, and make us stray from the narrow path that leads us to eternal life. Tonight or tomorrow, after the excitement of the graduation celebration has subsided, ponder what you want to achieve in your life and what your goals should be. Take the time to write them down and review them throughout the coming years. Then spend a few hours asking yourself what you can do to accomplish these goals today, tomorrow, next week, and in the months ahead. How do you choose and define these important eternal goals? And just as vital, how do you make a plan to achieve them? Remember, time is essential, even critical. It is the most important element in your calculations. From where you stand now, it may seem that you have an indefinite amount of time to accomplish eternal things. When we're young, we think life is endless. When you're my age, you can see the end of the road. Everyone has time, it's true. Time is the common commodity by which we all measure progress in our life's journey. But just because time passes doesn't mean we're making progress. Just because we're busy doesn't mean we're accomplishing the right goals. Alma said, "This life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. I testify that your time on earth will be sufficient to accomplish your preparation and perform the labor of your life's mission. If you use your time wisely, it will have eternal rewards. And there is no better time to do that than now, in your youth." In the book of Alma, he again taught us, "O remember, my son, learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God." We learn wisdom in our youth so that we will not make mistakes and waste our time wandering in strange paths, getting lost, and then having to struggle back to the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, as described in 1 Nephi 8. Part of staying on the straight and narrow path is continuing to learn. This learning includes growing mentally and spiritually in this mortal probation. It means learning from the challenges, opposition, and tragedies of life and enduring to the end. We are told how we endure the difficult times of our life will depend upon the blessings we receive. For those things which we endure, there are purposes for which we came to life on this earth to experience. The scriptures are our curriculum for this continuing education. Consider the textbook we call Proverbs. In the words of Solomon, one of the educational goals should be to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. There is a difference between our intelligence, which is God-given, and our knowledge, which is given or gained by our study and through life's experiences. The book of Proverbs helps us to recognize that the real purpose of mortality is to accomplish this learning, to gain wisdom and understanding in our hearts. It says, "Incline thyself, thy ear, unto wisdom. Apply thy heart to understanding." Through our actions and obedience, we turn our intelligence, our intellectual knowledge, into wisdom. This wisdom brings understanding to our hearts, and with understanding, we are able to apply our knowledge in a way that blesses all of God's children and helps us return to live with Him again. As we continue learning, we must be certain we are always coming to a knowledge of the truth. about God and our part in His plan. In the advanced curriculum of life, sometimes the most knowledge we gain, the easier it is to forget that our Heavenly Father and the need for His guiding hand. The spiritual textbook of Proverbs addresses the most important subject. In all the ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Wisdom is the principal thing, we are told. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. How do we gain knowledge in a way that does not cause us to be lifted up in the pride of our eyes and forget who we are, dependent upon God for our lives and for all that we have, and give gratitude for it? To answer that question, may I share a sacred truth, a golden key to humility and lifelong happiness. If you will take all the knowledge you've been given here at Brigham Young University, Idaho, and all the knowledge you gain throughout your life, and apply it to others, you will have the wisdom and understanding to discover your mission on earth. You did not acquire an education just so that you might earn money or gain status or academic achievement or to have the physical things of this life or the titles of men. You acquired all that you are learning to lift, bless, teach, and help others to come to the Savior, partake of His atonement, live His gospel, and inherit eternal life. Now, with that in mind, how do we effectively select and achieve our goals in life? We must be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Ghost and possess the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. Just think of the things that the Lord asks us to do to obtain and retain the Spirit. They're important: prayer, obedience, scripture study, family home evening, taking the sacrament worthily and regularly, and being able to go to the temple and receive our saving ordinances. Each of us must make time of pondering and quiet contemplation in our lives, regular scripture studied, unhurried personal prayer, meditation, and temple attendance can give the Spirit the opportunity to impress the messages in our hearts and to help us get that understanding which we will need. President Hinckley has said, "We live in a very mad world. When all is said and done, the pressures are tremendous. We fly at high speeds. We drive at high speeds. We program ourselves. There is hardly time to reflect and time to pause and meditate. But we need to." That is a message from our prophet we should heed. Counsel with the Lord in prayer and with trusted advisors whenever you're going to make important decisions that will affect your life. More importantly, continue to pray and on occasion fast after counsel is given. Remember, Nephi still needed to be led by the Spirit after he received his assignment, but he did not know beforehand the things which he should do. It was only after prayer and fasting that he received that understanding. You will not always know beforehand the things you should do. However, you can develop a pattern, a habit, if you will, to fill your life with doing, with scriptures referred to as being anxiously engaged. And when you are engaged in a good cause, the cause of God's kingdom on earth, the Spirit of the Lord will help you to know what to do to accomplish your goals. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I was about your age, a concept was taught to me by a family friend when I went to counsel with him about a very important decision I had to make in my life. He taught me about preparing for the storms of life. He also taught me the most important thing of how to be selective in where I spent my time and applied my gifts. The story goes something like this. A teacher brought a large jar into a classroom and proceeded to fill it with ping pong balls. He asked the class if the jar was full, and they responded yes. He then put the small pebbles into the jar and shook it up until it was full once more. He asked the class if it was full, and they said yes. The teacher then placed fine sand carefully into the jar to fill many of the little spaces occupied by air. Once more he asked the question, "Is the jar full?" With nervous laughter, the students said yes. After a few seconds, letting the teaching moment sink in, the teacher brought out a large glass of water and poured it into the jar until the sand was saturated and all the air was forced out of the jar. Now the teacher said, "What have you learned?" It was crystal clear to the students that the jar was like their lives, demonstrating to them that there are so many ways to fill the jar of life. It became clear to the students that if the professor had filled the jar with pebbles, sand, or water first, there would have been no room for the more important and larger things represented by the ping pong balls. At the same time, even while doing the large important things, there is plenty of room to accomplish the small and simple gestures of kindness and service, to be immersed in the acts of love. One thing is sure. As we go through life, there is always more things to do each day, each week, each month, each year, than we have time or energy to accomplish. The secret is to choose wisely those activities that will help you achieve your divinely inspired goals, and then have the strength, character, and conviction to disregard what would distract or detain you from your eternal destination. As you commence on the journey that will be the rest of your life, it's important for you to apply the principle of time, the principle of goals, and remember the principle of the ping pong balls, the most important things for each day, each week, each month, each year. Seek ye first these things that matter most. Only then can you be certain that you will inherit all of our Father has to give you. Finally, in this world, know that ye are Latter-day Saints living in the last days before the second coming, and that Lucifer and Satan are going to rule and reign upon the earth before the coming of our Lord once again. As difficult as it may seem, and to be able to remain pure and worthy in the first two decades of your life, it's going to be even more challenging for you and your family to defend yourselves against the buffetings of Satan in the generations to come. My mother told me a story when I was a young boy that has always reminded me of what I need to do to be ready for the storms of life. That story is a story about a rancher who was hiring a foreman to assist him with the care for the herds and crops on a large ranch. The rancher had interviewed many for the position, asking each the same opening question. "Tell me of your personal background, your ranching experience, and then would you tell me what the most important quality you have in your character?" At last the last man came in after all the interviews were completed. This last man answered the third part of the question a little differently than the others. Looking the rancher straight in the eye, he said, "My most valuable quality? I can sleep through a storm." The rancher probed to try and find out what that meant. What was this unusual declaration, "I can sleep through a storm"? The response was always the same, simply, but sincere. With deep conviction, he repeated, "I can sleep through a storm." Partly out of the rancher's curiosity, the man was hired. Weeks went by, and he was proving himself to be a good foreman. Then in the middle of the night, an unexpected violent thunderstorm hit the ranch with brilliant streaks of lightning followed by ear-splitting thunder, shaking the ground and the farm buildings with a driving rain and gale-force winds. As the rancher lay in bed, he became so concerned for his livestock, his feedlot, the buildings, indeed everything that he owned in the world, that he got up, put on his rain slicker, his boots, his Stetson hat, and made his way through the howling storm to the bunkhouse, where the foreman was asleep. The rancher pounded on the door, but to no avail. He could not wake the foreman. Finally, the foreman came sleepily to the door, was confronted by an angry and agitated rancher. Worried for his livestock and property, the rancher said, "How can you sleep when the storm is raging all about us?" The foreman responded calmly, "When you hired me, I told you I could sleep through a storm." The rancher responded a little urgently, "Let's go inspect the condition of the livestock, the feed lot, the hay, the farm equipment, and the buildings now," with urgency. As the storm grew in intensity, they rode their horses through the storm, inspected all the elements of the ranch, and found everything to be safe, secure, and in order. Everything was tied down to protect it against the violent wind and rain. The animals were safe in shelters, the equipment covered. Haystacks were tied down with covers. The barn doors were secure, the shutters closed. All was protected against the onslaught of an unexpected violent storm. As they were completing the inspection together, the rancher was impressed and pleased with the preparation the foreman had made to prevent damage, even a pending disaster and irreparable results from the storm's attack. Then, with a look of gratitude, the rancher quietly turned to the foreman amid the howling storm and said with a grin, "Now I know why you told me you could sleep through a storm. Well done, partner. You are going to choose partners for time and for all eternity. If I were a young woman and I were selecting a partner and a companion for time and all eternity, I would ask him, 'Could you sleep through a storm?' Meaning, have you prepared your life to withstand the fiery darts of the adversary and the trials of this life? If I were a young man looking for an eternal companion, I would ask the same question. Could you sleep through a storm? It is not a matter of preparation if the storms are going to come into your life. It's a matter that you're prepared when they come into your life. Because each one of us are in this mortal probation to withstand the storms of life and to endure to the end. One of the reasons why we pray, study scriptures, go to sacrament meeting, attend the temple is because we are diligently and worthily preparing ourselves with spiritual armor to defend ourselves and protect us from the battles of life and the challenges that lie ahead. It is so vital that we drive our spiritual taproot deep into the terra firma of life so that our faith will be unshaken in those tumultuous days. These are the last days. You are Latter-day Saints. It is so vital that we let our Master, the Savior Jesus Christ, be pilot of our ship so that we can feel peace despite the winds and waves of these tempestuous times. the question, will you be able to have peace and sleep through the storms of life, is a question that can guide all of us as we ponder and pray our eternal goals and how to accomplish them. Yes, today is a commencement. It is a commencement of joy and happiness as you embark on your life and use the knowledge you have, turn it into wisdom and understanding by your righteous actions, and use it to bless and to serve others. Today is a commencement of making and keeping goals that will lead you back to your Heavenly Father. It's a day of praise and thanksgiving to our God, and celebration for that which you've achieved, an expression of gratitude to your teachers and parents. So with you, I raise my voice to speak the psalmist's words, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I give you my testimony that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ. I give a testimony of this institution and a testimony of you and what you mean. You are a royal generation. You will be here in the last days. You will raise up another generation that will be worthy and stronger than the one before. I give you my testimony that if you will draw close to your Heavenly Father, if you will go to Him in prayer, if you will study, if you will be true to your companion and true to your Heavenly Father, you will be able to have the joys of this life and eternal life to come. Of this I pray and give blessings to each of you in your lives, that you might learn your gifts and share them with others, bear your testimony, and that your knees may bend and your mouths may say, "Jesus is the Christ." Of this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.